And welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. My name is Ifni, and we're coming to you out from the greenness of UBC, out on CITR 101.9 FM. It is in the midst of Carnival. It's Bike Month 2007, so hope everyone is having fun on their bikes. The sun is shining, and we're going to be giving away some a ticket today to the upcoming Bike Shorts International Cycling Cinema Extravaganza, which is going to be happening a little bit later in the month. We're not going to give the ticket away yet, but we will be giving it away soon. We're also going to get a traffic report from the lovely and talented Amy Walker. And we're also being joined by the young and lovely Wendell Challenger, who's actually just on his way into the studio. So I'd like to welcome everybody into the studio today, and let's also maybe start off with a song. I know, David, it's a special event today. We're also being joined by David Ripa, of course, who's manning the board with the utmost efficacy. David, how you doing today?
I'm okay. Yourself?
I'm pretty good, thank you. And I know it's a special event today, right?
Yeah, my mom was born today.
Your mom was born today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, happy mom's birthday day.
I hope she's listening, but if not, it's forever archived in podcast history.
Yes, and your mom lives, where does she live?
In Campbellford, Ontario.
Okay. Well, I know you wanted to play something to her today.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you want to go for that now?
Sure. Hang on a second.
Okay. Everybody, lean forward in your seats. Clench your teeth. I can see the beads of sweat forming across the city.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. If you want another kind of love, well, I'll wear a mask for you. And if you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, well, here I stand. I'm your man. And if you want a boxer, I would step in to the ring for you. And if you want a doctor, I'll examine every inch of you. And if you want to drive, climb inside. Or if you want to take me for a ride, well, you know that you can. 'Cause I'm your man. Well, the moon's too bright, the chain's too tight, the peace won't go to sleep. I've been running through these promises to you that I made, but I could not keep. Oh, but a man never got a woman back, not by begging on his knees. Well, I'll crawl to you, baby, and I'll fall at your feet. I'll howl at your beauty like a dog in heat. I'll claw at your heart, I'll tear at your sheet and say, please, I'm your man. If you gotta sleep a moment on the road, I will steal for you. And if you wanna work the streets alone, well, I'll disappear for you. And if you want a father for your child, or if you wanna walk with me a while across the sand, I'm your man. Yes, I'm your man. Your man. Yes, I'm your man.
Well, damn. That would be digital technology for you. It degrades. Did you know that CDs degrade? We've been lied to. All of us as consumers. So we've multiplied in the studio, and there are now three of us where there were once two. And welcome to the studio, Wendell. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. And a bit of a calamity on the way over, but
all really? In all. Tell us about that.
Well, I was riding along, you know, out of the saddle, trying to ride really fast so I wasn't late, and a pedal tore out of the crank.
Wow.
Just sheer power, I think.
I was going to say, you are a powerful, rippling creature that you would rip the pedal right off a bike.
No, I think I just didn't put the pedal in correctly.
Well, you should stick to the first story. It sounds a little more impressive.
Unfortunately, I'm just a little too honest some days.
Fair enough. So you're going to be hanging out with us in the studio today. And I should also mention that if there's a lot happening this month. It is Bike Month. And if anyone wants to phone in and let us know of another event that we may have missed as a collective cycling amorphous mass in Vancouver, please call the studio. It's 604-UBC-CITR. That's UBC-CITR. Also, if you have any questions for me or for Wendell or for David or for anyone, we can certainly try to answer them. Or if you want to make any comments on anything that we're talking about. So, let's see, Wendell, maybe we should just tell people a little bit about who you are. I know you're a really smart guy. You have a thing on your name.
Which one? I have a whole bunch of things behind my name, unfortunately. Been in school a little too long, I think.
Okay. Well, so I know there's a. Did you finish your PhD?
It's in progress.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
How's it going for you? Do you need any help?
Well, no. I find the alcohol helps greatly.
Okay. Really?
No. Actually, everything's really good right now. I'm having a good time.
Maybe if you give alcohol to your prof.
Yeah. No.
And what's your PhD on?
I work in conservation. I do statistical modeling. So my interest is modeling ecosystems.
Hmm.
So yeah. Big brain.
Well, and a big topic too, and I'm sure you have to talk a lot about it, so we won't necessarily torment you today. But that may be a side of you that I think a lot of people don't know about.
I try to hide that side.
So what are you known for in Vancouver?
A few things, but I suggest some people know me for the bike blog I've had for years. Mm-hmm. Other people know me from the guy who's willing to puke at races, bike races. And,
is that because you work so hard?
Yeah, I have an ability to endure great amounts of pain, and I quite enjoy it. It's perverse, really.
Okay. Why do you enjoy it? What's the secret in pain?
It's funny, you know, because on the way here, my pedal came out of my crank, and
yes.
I had to ride one-legged all the way here. And actually,
and it is uphill.
It is uphill, and it's actually a bit of a... It reminds me of a story when I did Ironman, and I had an injury... And
what's Iron Man? Is that a comic book?
It should be. No, it's a triathlon. It's a silly one, actually. It's ridiculous. It's 4 kilometers swim and 160 kilometer ride and then a marathon afterwards.
Wow.
It's just because you're dumb. Basically.
That is silly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So it reminds you of a story.
Because basically almost the same thing happened in Iron Man years back, and I ended up riding 80 kilometers with one leg to finish the race. So.
This is a recurring theme.
It seems to be. It was even the same leg.
So, really?
Yeah.
Which leg was it?
The left leg.
And so if you do see Wendell in public, you may want to go over and check out his left leg because it does certainly get him farther, much farther than the right leg, which is just a kind of along for the ride a lot of times.
It's almost like the logo for the fixed gear riding. You only need one.
Yes, that's what they say. And so if folks want to go to the blog that you just mentioned and pop over and take a look, they should go to
FearlessGearless.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And so, and it does, and there is a kind of like a little motto up at the top, and it says blood, sweat, and tears, but no extra gears. So, what are your parents like, Wendell?
That's a good question. Interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they really active people?
No, actually.
Okay. Are they rather sedate?
Fairly sedate. I'm actually probably one of the most active person in my family. I'm considered a bit of an odd freak, oddball.
Mm-hmm. And was it growing up, were you this energetic and were you an athlete?
Oh, no. I've always been a geek.
Okay.
I was just a geek, and then one day I realized that the human body can do an awful lot, and I kind of got addicted to that. It was sort of like, because it was outside of the realm of experiences I was used to, and then, you know, I started with just commuting. It was for environmental reasons. I just wanted to ride everywhere by bike when I was living out in Nanaimo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started riding mountain bike out there and got with the groups. And then I wanted to try racing, and I got my ass kicked royally.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just...
Did you use both legs?
Yeah, I used both.
Oh, I was going to say, that would be a great excuse.
And I still got my ass kicked.
Both cheeks.
Yeah, both of them.
Huh. Okay. And then, so you continued on with that. And when did you come to Vancouver?
Well, I was actually born in Victoria. I lived in Maple Ridge for quite a while. Then I moved to Ontario, and then I came back here 3 years ago.
Hmm. Okay. And so, and I know that Fearless Gearless, I mean, it's changed from what its original conception was, because as you said, it was a blog.
Well, it was a blog, and I started it in Ontario because I found the cycling community where I was living to be really uninviting and rather cliquey.
Mm.
And all I brought with me was a one-gear bike.
Okay.
And people would make fun of me when I showed up to group rides, like they wouldn't want to ride with me kind of thing.
Now, for folks out there who have maybe perhaps many gears and like using them on a regular basis, what do you want to say to them about was it a single speed or was it a fixie?
Well, actually what I started with is a single speed mountain bike. I made it as a coffee bike. A bike you ride to go get coffee because it looks cool. There was really no other reason for it. We happened to get the frame really cheap, me and a friend, mm-hmm. and we had extra parts. So we built up a bike each. And then we tried riding them on the trails, and we thought they were kind of fun. And when I did my master's out in Ontario, I needed money, so I sold all my race bikes and said, I'm done racing, and I'll just ride the single speed. And I went out there, and I found that very few people actually wanted to go ride with me. They kind of thought I was weird.
Oh.
And that made me ever more determined, so I actually entered the race scene out there just so I could beat them with the one-gear bike. And I was able to, and I enjoyed it greatly.
Really?
Yeah.
That must really have annoyed them.
Oh, great. It was hilarious. You stood up to the start line, and people look at you like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's okay. I just have to pass one of you. And then you just see the look on their face drop, like, oh, shit. He's gonna, damn, we're gonna have to move here.
Huh, interesting. So is it a competitive thing, or is it a kind of surpassing one's own personal challenges, or is it all of the above? Besides the masochistic aspect, which you've already commented
on. I think it's about personal challenges. I mean, I wrote an article that started off that site years ago. It's called Master Says Faster. It's sort of a dominatrix theme, but, you know, your bike's sort of the dominatrix and, whoosh, you know, keep you going.
Right.
But it's a personal battle. There's nothing else involved there. If, you know, you decided to take a bike that's harder to ride. If you lose, that's your problem. You chose the game, you know, you have no mm-hmm. excuses, and it's just kind of fun. You know, it's the single speed culture of the time in like the late 90s, early 2000 was kind of crazy. Like they used to have the single speed world championships where whoever won, they branded you with a big brand too. It's sort of like, so you want to win, huh? All right, well, you're gonna have to go through another step. And they would brand the girls too, so the girls or the guys, whoever won, whichever.
So whoever won, everybody knew that the winner would be branded.
Yeah, and one of the girls there, I remember, she got one on the inside of her arm. It was pretty cool.
what's the pattern on there? It's just S or like what?
It's just cog? It's just single speed world championship and then the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
There's this whole other side to bikes and self-punishment that I kind of had suspected was there, but maybe
It's totally there. The courier culture now and the fix... Well, not, I wouldn't say the courier. It's more of a... It's kind of offshooted everywhere.
Right.
But the, sort of the fixed gear hipster culture is kind of embracing that a little bit. Like, they have their own races and they do their own things, so...
And lots of hardcore stuff, although I don't know if hipsters are particularly known for the pursuit of painful activities.
No, I don't think quite so, but...
And for folks who might be listening who don't know what a fixie is, maybe do you want to enlighten them?
Oh, sure. When I was also... They're derived from track bikes, now, which I actually own one, and I do race at the track. The track bikes are classic. They're road frames with steep geometry, very fast, very twitchy, and they will have a single gear that's fixed, meaning there's no freewheel, so that if the wheel turns, the pedals turn, so you must always pedal. And actually, the track bikes, they come with no brakes, so if you've ever raced on the track, you just have to know how to ride the bike well and not need to brake. You can slow the bike down a bit with your legs, but you can't do any emergency braking, which makes racing rather interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the couriers liked the bikes because they were tough, they rode fast, and they lasted a long time. So they used to use them out in the city and ride them brakeless, basically, in the city, just to show how good they were at riding. And then it sort of just caught on, and everyone seems to be riding them now out here. Like, when I came out here, it was just starting to explode. I had such a niche blog that I would think no one would ever bother reading it. And then all of a sudden it became popular. And I was sort of like, whoa, wait, I'm not cool. I don't know really what's going on.
Don't you people know we're geeky?
Yeah, exactly. Come on here.
So I want to ask you then what you attribute this kind of popularity of the fixie. Because it is something it's been both promulgated and also criticized. So
I don't know. I think it's a general trend of culture eating, where we want to find some sort of niche culture and then dive into it and claim it's ours. And it's part of, you know, posturing and being cool and all sorts of things. I say that cynically because I'm not cool and I'm jealous. But
so if we suspend our cynicism for a minute, then would it? I mean, I know that there's the way that fixed gear riders talk about their fixies is a kind of
I think one of the
esoteric
main
thing.
Yeah, I think that maybe got people, like the whole idea of, you know, getting into culture got people started. But when you ride the bikes, it's like a different experience, and I think that really hooked people. Hmm. So not to be overly cynical, but, you know, there's a reason why people just
the modicum of cynicism.
Exactly. There's a reason why people stick with it and why they enjoy the bike so much and have been riding them for years. It's you have a different connection with the ground than you would with a regular bike. It's you feel the momentum much more because your feet are tied to the pedals and the momentum of the bike itself. Mm-hmm. As well, when you start to learn how to skid the bike, you can kind of surf the pavement on them.
What do you mean when you say skidding for folks that might not know?
Oh, of course. You can do I guess it's sort of called a jump skid to off start the skid. But basically, if you stop pedaling, you can skid the bike. Now, you can't just do that because that'll basically tear your legs right off.
Because you have to actually do backward resistance as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what you basically do is you sort of off-weight the rear wheel, and then you sort of jump a bit to start the skid, and then you hold it with your legs. Mm-hmm. So it still requires a lot of force, but...
So for folks who are car drivers, maybe they can understand this by saying, like, it's the difference between driving automatic and driving a stick. That you have the people who are stick drivers have that. They seem to have that same kind of.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. It's sort of you have a bit more of a connection of what's going on. It's you're not removed another level.
And you can't drink a latte at the same time.
Well, yeah, you can. I have.
Oh dear. Yeah, but you came here with one pedal.
Actually, the other things I like about the fixed gears a lot is taking photographs at critical mass. Because I can regulate my speed without having the handlebars on the brakes. I can just ride around brakeless without. What's it called? Riding with no hands.
Okay, yeah, and so riding handless.
Handless, yeah. I was like, that didn't sound right. But yeah, and it's easy to control your speed and take pictures and stuff, so.
Okay, interesting. And you mentioned something about track bikes being twitchy. What do you mean when you say twitchy?
Oh, okay. To get geeky for a second, the head angles and the seat angles are very, what's termed, steep. Mm-hmm. They're closer to being straight up and down. And this makes the bike very reactive. In other words, you just have to turn the handlebars slightly and the bike will dance to the left or dance to the right, which also makes it a bit more hard. It makes it harder to control, too.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you about this term because I know you throw it around with great abandon. Cult of bike. Cult of bike.
Well,
what does that mean, cult of bike?
There's actually a book written, and I can't remember the author's name, but it was Bike Cult. And I would say whenever you really get into cycling, it becomes a lifestyle more so than simply a piece of transportation. Many people talk about how it's changed their life, how they've changed their perception of the world. Mm-hmm. It's sort of self-empowerment because you're self-powered. You go where you want to go. You've done all the work to get there. It's hard to describe, but there's a whole cult that seems to start coming around bikes, and there's all different levels of it. And fixed gears and single speeding is just one small subsect of it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. So again, if folks want to visit Wendell's blog, they can go to fearlessgearless.com and check out some of the stuff in there. And also, again, if anyone out there has any comments, feel free to call in 604-UBC-CITR. And again, you're listening to the Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show, 101.9 FM. We are going to head out to a song. So why don't we head to track number 4? A song called Joyride, one I think a lot of us can relate to.
Whee!
Whee! Every month is bike month.
Exactly.
It's K1 and double best, get max, please protect, get a brace and find your place, it'll only take a sec for the damage to begin, wreaking havoc on the eardrums, we cold, getting dumb, getting crazy style, late night, high division, we be moving with precision, with 10 spots popping off, making some decision about hitting them one at a time with these ill minds, my love at the door, free drinks hitting the floor, the Zodiac slide time, ladies adore, club tour ambassador, who giving you more, double K the unified bomber, ain't nobody calmer when it comes to beats. And I'm erasing, truncating, right. Sucking niggas' paper beats when they claiming that they making them. But we know that they faking them. You tell them what we making it. Fucked up, I throw them in the trunk with the pump chunk. Drop them at the dump and leave them numbed up. With my one man gang, cause me and double bring pain like a window. I'm blowing like a kid on a Nintendo game. Like God dang, but don't be showing no attention like we hating when we ripping out of sight. Meaty description. You can't see us before I be beside. Taking another step, catch us out, short ride.
pause, loop, Mardi Gras, tape to talent shows, snotty nose, you. Vocal booth and vermouth with the truth, no ST to push him through the roof. Yo, we don't need no water, let the acetate burn. Cause you know the P's hot, they love him when we drop. Like stunt me, counterstanding, we'll show you the definition of keeping the crowd's attention. But oh, I forgot to mention that. And with our homemade tracks and old facts, still blowing wax like birthdays and laid back. Like the first day in class, is digging up all past. For punk crews, see me cruise past, they all ass. We the bullies at 3 o'clock, keep the bar fully stocked. We coming in to do a live, Tyler, then join your rock. Cool brothers like the other on the street, take your charge on the stage, living large. You niggas know who we are. We are the beat, professional. You know the ticket in the States, we're dope and great, bringing work. On stage, ripping the range, repping my rhyme page. People under the don't play, double what you say. Yo, I forgot cause of the pot, so excuse me, you must raise the temperature. Cause we gon' get it just soon as the rent is up. And now, we gonna chill right here when we reside. Might just step on the way out, nigga, we joyride.
Welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. This is the Anne Louise Happy Birthday Bicycle Radio Show today. It's David Ripa's mother's birthday, which is so nice. So we're sending love out to Ontario. And of course, keep in mind that most of the population of Vancouver hails from Ontario. So all of you, I hope that you dropped your mother a card on Mother's Day. And what did you do for Mother's Day, Wendell?
I think I brought some food over to my mom.
Oh, that's nice. Did you go on the Momentum magazine Mother's Day bicycle ride?
No, I went out and visited my mom instead.
so much better karma. Although I heard that they had a nice time as well going out to the beach. And we're just going to get a traffic report from Amy Walker pretty soon coming up here. How's your bike month going, by the way? I didn't ask you, Wendell.
I don't know. I have been non-existent for the last couple months. I wrote my comps and a few other things, so I've just kind of been out of the loop forever.
You wrote your comps?
Oh, for a PhD.
Okay, thank you.
That was rather stressful. I cried a bit, but it was all good.
Did you?
Oh, not really, but it sounds good.
Right, but you like the pain, right? So it's all good.
Well, I don't know about that pain.
And you've been doing a bit of traveling?
Yeah, but actually that was for work, so.
Oh, did you have any fun at all?
Oh, yeah, I had lots of fun.
Right on.
Went out to Tofino, went surfing as part of a meeting for Parks Canada and a couple other things. So mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun that way. Went out to Colorado as well and got to ride a lot out in Colorado. Love it out there.
Awesome. So I wanted to also talk to you a little bit about technology because I know it's something that you use a lot in your daily life. You do the website, I believe, for Momentum.
Well,
you do a lot of it.
We're going to release we'll have a release party for the new website shortly. What I've been working on, you can't see yet, so.
Okay, you can't see yet. Did you hear that, everybody?
Yes.
Just imagine it. I know that you use a lot of open source and free software from time to time, Drupal being one of the things that you use.
Yeah, I've been goofing around with it. I don't really know what I'm doing, but.
That's all good. That's what it's made for, learning as you go.
Pretty much.
Me too.
I don't know. I'm sort of a Luddite too. At the same time, It depends. If I like it and I think it's cool, then I'll sing its praises. If I don't like it, then like I still don't own a cell phone, and I kind of hope I never do. Mm-hmm. That is maybe because I just don't have enough friends.
Well, and it's also something that demands your attention, right?
Yeah, and I'll lose it.
Right. Fair enough. I wanted to ask you what you think that technology has to offer cyclists.
It's a hit or miss thing. You know, some technology's obviously going to benefit, you know, faster bikes or better brakes or things like that. But we get caught up pretty quick to spend a lot of money, and it's sort of like what they're doing with the whole music industry when they keep changing formats to try to get people to rebuy their whole music collection.
Right.
I think they do that with the cycling industry as well. They kind of bring out new technology, and sure, you know, there's some benefit to it, but often it's not really worth the money, but they want to convince you you need a new bike, et cetera. Or, you know, all the stuff is all cartridge bearings now, so you can't rebuild things. You know, that gets expensive. You have to replace the whole, like, let's say the bottom bracket. And
right.
I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of that. I kind of like the idea of being able to take everything apart and fix it.
Right. How much do you think that that bike geeks get seduced by consumerism?
A fair bit. I do. I admit that. You know, I get most of the stuff I own is bike stuff, so.
Right. So, what does your apartment look like?
My room? Let's see. Most of the clothing I own is bike-related clothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wheel set sitting in my room, and I think I have, if you go down to the basement, there's, you know, like 5 or 6 bikes. One for each different, you know, they're all made for something else, and, you know, it's like somehow if you've been doing enough, you can justify owning 12 bikes. It gets ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think the cycling community in Vancouver is heading at the moment? What do you think are some interesting new developments? And
I don't know. I went to that second wave. Or the third wave of cyclist talk a while back there.
Ooh.
I know it sounds a little funky and technical and impressive, but their whole point is they think they can get more and more people just using bikes for short trips in Vancouver, which would be great to see. It just, you know, I don't think many people want to, I don't think there's a big enough interest to do some of the silly stuff like I do, or a number of people I know who do similar things. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a general interest, and it's growing, to, you know, not pay for gas and start making small trips, you know, like the ideal 5-kilometer radius bit. And I think that's where it's really going to grow in Vancouver. And that's what that talk was trying to argue as well. So,
Well, and isn't it interesting that the farther we live from home and work, the greater the distance in between them, then people feel the need to have motorized transport. Whereas if they're living near to all their amenities, their traveling time actually ends up being about the same, if not less.
Yeah. But, well, you
Even
know,
though people think that a car is faster, but actually, people tend to kind of it's an economy of scale, right?
Oh, it really is. I don't know. Like, I still wanted to do. We'll talk about the movie in a bit, but I wanted to do another one similar to that, where I want to race a car from, let's say, Maple Ridge to downtown Vancouver in rush hour. I think I can win on a bicycle.
Okay,
it's a bold statement, but I think I can do it.
I think you can do it. Maybe not with one pedal, or maybe even with one pedal.
No, I think I'd need both pedals.
Okay, fair enough. Because they've got 4 pistons, right? So you may as well have 2 pedals.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't we talk about the movie now?
All right.
What's you've got a movie, actually, that's going to be shown in the upcoming Bike Shorts International Cycling Cinema Night, which is going to be coming up on Thursday, June the 28th, 2007. That's going to be at the Van East Cinema, which is 2290 Commercial Drive. That's near the Broadway SkyTrain station. And that's a fabulous night. It's just like the last couple of years. It's a night that's full of international bike shorts. And it's going to be kind of a fun night. The doors open at 6:30, and the show starts at 7:30. So there's going to be a bit of a pre-show and some fun things to see and do. But you have a little movie in there, and do you want to tell folks about it?
Sure. I'm kind of that movie is funny because I basically did it for shits and giggles. It's kind of funny. I've gotten a really good response to it, and I had you hear this all the time. I had no intent of really doing anything, and it's true. I was just getting really annoyed with car drivers, actually. Surprise, surprise. And I was like, damn it. I'm going to make a webpage where I videotape car drivers doing really stupid things. And then this is where the whole thing started. And then so, you know, I can out them kind of deal. It's like, you know, like, for example, when you're riding along and they're willing to pass you and almost kill you so that they can come to a stop 5 seconds later. Why? Why do this to me? What did I do to you?
I think cars are actually attracted to red lights.
I think so. I just don't think they're looking. They're just not thinking. And they're
some
just,
of them.
No, some of them. It's not like I'm going to go out and, you know, run over a cyclist. But they're general. I don't think they can relate to what it's like to be on a bike and feel a car brush by you.
Right.
So I wanted to start making movies that got into what it's like from our perspective. And, you know, so I thought I would somehow just videotape some of the rides that I was doing. So,
because you were taking kind of long, you're a long distance commuter, aren't you? Or you were for a long time?
Yeah, I was for a long. I used to ride from Maple Ridge out to Vancouver.
So. And how long was that ride, or how many kilometers?
It was usually 80K a day.
Okay. And so how many minutes are we talking about?
I don't know. Like, total time, maybe 2.5 hours.
Okay. And for a car driver, depending on the time of day, probably about the same.
Probably about the same. Sometimes a bit longer, I think.
Uh-huh.
Depends on the time of day.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, exactly. And I was also thinking about that, too. And I was like, well, I want to show that bicycles are just as fast, or can be just as fast as cars. I'm not saying that everyone's going to be, but you can be. Mm-hmm. And so,
and for folks who don't live here, let's keep in mind too that a lot of that travel the cars are taking is on the highway.
Yeah.
Right? And still it's about the same speed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you keep an average of 30 odd kilometers an hour, that ends up being what the car speed is with traffic and stoplights mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. those sorts of
things.
When you average it out.
Interesting.
It's
now,
funny.
For folks who are maybe beginning cyclists, remember that 30k an hour is quite fast to a speed to maintain. Most people go on average around 20k an hour, 25 if you're you know, going moderate to fast pace on a level plane. And 30K is pretty respectable speed to be doing for, you know, a good hour or so.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible, and it's certainly not impossible to do in short bursts for even people who are beginners.
Well, no, I mean, with anything, you know, with time, you become more proficient at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But so for the movie, I got a cheap little kid's video camera,
mm-hmm.
'cause that's all I could afford.
Yeah.
It's meant for like little snowboarders, but you could mount it to your handlebar.
Right on.
And I just started riding my commute and recording my commute. And then one of the days I happened to really hit snarled traffic, and I swear I must have passed 600 cars in a 10-kilometer stretch and do it at a very fast rate of speed. I think I was actually holding about 40-odd kilometers an hour when I was filming that.
So what's your little film called?
It's called Long Line of Cars, and it's basically a time lapse as I pass by all these cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was just like a little quick one-off, kind of like a little joke I put on the site. And then I was like, but everyone that I knew who cycled loved it. And,
mm-hmm.
and then so I started submitting it to bike film festivals. And now I want to do more.
Maybe there's something cathartic about it.
Oh, it's great.
Maybe that's what it is.
Exactly.
And we've actually, again, multiplied. So we've gone from 2 bodies to 4 bodies. We have with us Amy Walker on the line. Amy, are you there?
Hello, yeah, I'm here.
Wow, fantastic. So Amy Walker, for those who may not have had the pleasure of meeting her, she is a publishing mogul of the bicycle world. She publishes a magazine called Momentum. She is the lady of the golden moth wings. And what's your chopper's name? Is it Mothra?
It's the Moth Chopper.
The Moth Chopper.
The Momentum Moth Chopper.
It's quite a beauty with a big flag on it.
It's sparkly, too.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastically great. It's the solstice, and for some reason it just feels like really happy and bright and great.
That's right. We have the most daylight hours of the year to ride today.
Yeah, and I was just out on the bikeways, and I couldn't wipe the grin off my face because the city is bike mad.
They're bike mad?
It's beautiful.
Be careful, there are bike-mad humans flying around on their contraptions.
Yeah, and which I can describe.
Please do. Tell us what you're seeing.
Among the things which I saw outside of the Anza Club just moments ago, a woman with a strange bike with a yellow body and a big trailer. I saw a guy with a recumbent and a gigantic roll of something, like just a gigantic like paper roll or a... You know, I was going too fast. I didn't stop to ask him, but he was going up Ontario with his recumbent. I saw a man with a child on a tandem, and then they had a little trailer bike with another kid on the back.
Whoa.
And I saw, like, just so many hot people on bicycles. That
probably half naked.
The clothes are coming off now because it's getting warmer. So
that's why you got to love summer.
The forecast is very good for hot people on bikes this summer.
With big rolls of things.
And
their progeny in tow.
That's the thing. The thing that I guess the point is that people are carrying stuff on their bikes, which means they're using their bikes for, you know, the cargo and vehicles. And to me, that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you are, your lovely offices are ensconced over on Pender Street by the Pender bike route there.
Yeah.
And you're near the Chinatown gates.
Pender and Carroll, pretty much where they're doing the construction on the Carroll Street Greenway.
Right. So what is it looking like there for bike traffic?
Well, there's a lot of cute, very stylish bikers who are stopping by Aaron Templeton's store today, which is on Carroll Street right by the construction. And there, they seem to be going to a sample sale there, which goes until 8 o'clock. So
a sample
that's
sale.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah, there's a fashion, bike fashion. It's not bike fashion specifically, but there seems to be some cute bikers.
But it could be co-opted.
Conglomerating. There's a bit of a traffic jam in that area of cute and riding bicycle fashionista people.
So if you're on your bike at the moment, please beware the cute rubber, what do they call them? Rubberneckers? Ogling?
Well, or you might want to head in that direction to,
okay,
you know, to join the traffic love dog pile.
So what was the address again?
It's at the corner of Carroll and Pender.
Right.
I don't have the exact address.
That's okay. That's good enough. And I know that's just across the street from Sam Key, which is it's the Jack Chow Insurance Building, which originally was actually a grocery warehouse that belonged
exactly
to a guy named Sam Key.
It's right behind the Jack Chow Building.
And that's
building in Vancouver.
Yeah, and cyclists are in a unique opportunity to check that building out because usually traffic has to keep moving and people can't ogle. It is the narrowest building in the world, according to Guinness. It's only 6 feet deep. And
she's
so
a former tour operator. She knows the facts.
Shh, don't tell. I read it. So if you're on a bicycle passing that way, you might want to stop and take a look. It's a bit hard to see because the building beside it was painted the same color, but originally it was a regular-sized warehouse, and the city wanted to widen Pender Street, so they just kind of knocked down Sam Key's building, and he was stubborn, and he only had a little strip of property left, but he was obstinate and rebuilt his warehouse. So it is a block long and 6 feet deep, as I mentioned. But now
there's digression.
Ah, it's all related, eh? It's city knowledge. I wanted to say, the reason it relates is that I actually bought insurance from the Jack Chow insurance company once because you can actually bike up to their window and get drive up service.
This relates to bike drive through window service.
Okay.
Bikes and
exactly
service.
See, everything relates to bicycles in some
form
or another.
Well, that was a discussion that I noticed you were involved in on the Fellow Love Listserv. Do you guys announce Fellow Love Listserv?
Let's do that now, Amy.
Because it's such a great source of information that people should get on there and be on the listserv.
Amy, what's the Fellow Love mailing list?
Fellowlove.bc.ca.
But what is it?
Oh, what is it? It's a listserv, so you can sign up to have your... have email messages come from a group listserv. You can probably describe it better than me because you're more techie than me.
No, heck no. You pretty much summed it up.
Let's get Wendell to describe a listserv.
Hey, Wendell, what's VeloLove? The bike mailing list.
It's the coolest mailing list in the world.
Wow, that's high praise coming from a guy who can pedal up a hill with one leg. If folks want to join it, you can go to, I guess they go to velolove.bc.ca, and there'll be instructions that will follow. VeloLove is a really great place to get information about what's going on in Vancouver. There are two lists. One is an announcement list, so you just get a list from the wonderful Steve Kisby, who's so dedicated at getting together a list of all the events that people are always putting on. And that's a pretty low traffic mail. If you want to actually be involved in some of the discussions that people have, because there are a lot of contentious issues and we are a pretty motley bunch, join the discussion list. There are a few hundred people on it, and I always run across all sorts of interesting stuff on there.
It's an ongoing conversation among the city's cyclists, so I'm always surprised when I meet cyclists. I'm like, oh, you're a cyclist in the know, but then they're not on VeloLove, and I'm always surprised at that. But, you know, whatever. Different strokes for different folks.
There's word of mouth, and then there's word of the key.
Yeah.
So, Amy, are you going to be going to the bike shorts night?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
We normally do a Love Your Bike cleaning night at Bikes on the Drive on Commercial Drive that night.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we're going to try to do is go down to the cinema and bring some rags and juice and clean bikes down there.
Awesome.
Yep.
That's great.
Also, I want to let people know about an event that's happening next Wednesday. Sean Granton is coming to town. And he's going to lead us on a pedal-powered potluck picnic.
Woo.
Wednesday, June 27th. And it will meet at 6:30 at the Science World Gazebo. You can look on the Momentum website.
Which is?
MomentumPlanet.com. And you can get the details there, but it'll 6:30 next Wednesday. And it's a potluck picnic.
Those are lots of fun.
It can be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's lovely, and I have a guess it will probably end up somewhere on the beach.
It's going to end up in some park.
Whoa.
Loosely defined.
Wow.
Park.
Awesome. That sounds absolutely lovely, Amy.
Yep.
Cool. Well, listen, thank you so much. And when does the next issue of Momentum come out?
The next one comes out in August. Our current one is spanning for a couple months. So.
Wow, excellent. Well, I hope that your bike...
The next issue is about... We have some features about touring, traveling with your bike, so going out of the city and getting away and... going on a vacation.
Amy, when was the last time you had a vacation?
I knew it.
Amy, after that issue comes out, I want you to read it and
I'm
take your advice.
One. July 1st weekend, I'm going to go on one.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go up to the Sunshine Coast. There's a gathering up there, Intention 8.5, camp out in the country, and music and fun cabaret talent shows and camping with a whole bunch of friends.
It sounds lovely.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear it.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, Amy.
Bye.
Okay, cheers.
See you, Amy.
That was incredibly informative.
Ah, she always is.
I can totally visualize what's happening down in Chinatown. That's really great.
Actually, I'm going to head there right after here.
Yeah, I can see. I saw you jotting down the address. Okay, so we're going to play the song that accompanies your little movie there, Wendell. And what I'll say, too, is just before we go into that, we do have one ticket here. It's a $10 value ticket. So if folks want to go to this show, they should either call the station. It's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can send us an email. But we're going to take callers first. So the first person who calls into the station will get this ticket. And here we go.
Trying to get through. There's no single explanation, there's no central destination. But this long line of cars is trying to get through. And this long line of cars is all because of you. We don't wonder where we're going or remember where we've been. We've got to keep this traffic flowing and accept a little sin. Coming around the bend. Sacramento to the freeways of LA. We've got to keep this fire burning and accept a little gray. So this long line of cars is trying to break free. because of me. There's a long
And welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. I would like to send out a big congratulations to Stephanie. Stephanie, you are going to Bike Shorts for free. Her ticket will be there to pick up. I should mention to folks that there is secure bike parking. And
woohoo!
Secure bike parking. And the proceeds from that night are going to be going to the VACC, that's the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition, out there fighting the good battles for all of the cyclists in the city. Do you want to give them a woohoo? Yeah, you looked like you did. And the other half of the proceeds will be going to Free Geek Community Technology Center, which I should also send out congratulations to because we moved into our new space. So we're just down a couple blocks from the Science World Gazebo, which is, of course, a landmark to cyclists because we often congregate there out of the rain.
Woohoo!
Right on. It's radio theme day for Free Geekers because we had the CBC come in the morning. We got to meet Ian Hanamansing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've been on the CBC.
He's slumming it in radio these days. Oh, you have?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Did you guys get on the? Did you have a good interview?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. They're doing a series on global warming, so I don't know if you've heard, but the planet is getting hot.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's bad news. We're in trouble.
Is it that whole carbon dioxide thing?
It might be that, but with the extra added benefit of monoxide and a whole bunch of other stuff, dioxins and all that.
All these lovely chemicals. Mm.
Yeah, kind of mixed together in a big old pea soup. So, anyway, it was kind of interesting, and it's great that the media is jumping on the bandwagon. But of course, for a lot of folks, they've known for a long time, and it's been a really hard battle to get the word out. So, it's great that that now people are starting to go, oh, damn, I have a stake in this too, and we're all kind of. Everyone's lending a hand, I guess, as they were.
Yeah, actually, I'll be quite honest. I mean, I started my undergrad in environmental biology. It's sort of been, conservation's been an interest for a long time. I was getting depressed for many years. It's one of the reasons why I rode a bike. I just thought the world wasn't going to change. And then all of a sudden, in the last couple of years, it's just like a 180, and I felt so much better. It's like, oh, I'm not an idiot after all. Woohoo! You know, it's like people actually are starting to, you know, like before family would be like, why you ride your bike everywhere? And now, you know, people start to get it. I like it.
Mm. Or maybe they start to see some of the nuances.
Yeah. It just takes time.
Mm. How did you get into riding a bike when you were a kid? Did you kind of go through that thing a lot of people go through where they leave the bicycle in their teens and then come back?
Oh yeah, I wanted to be a race car driver.
Right on. I can't picture that at all, Wendell.
No, I like speed. Woo.
Okay.
But and then I went to university and I wanted to be, I don't know, rich and a race car driver and just silly things. I don't really know what I wanted to be. And, you know, I kind of had my mind opened up. I realized that the world was on the verge of falling apart, and I wanted to start changing it.
How did that happen? Was that the people that you were associating with? Was that things that you were reading?
It was because I didn't like calculus.
Really?
That's funny, because now
I don't like calculus either. Well, we have so much in common.
Well, I do. I use calculus every day now, which is really comical. But no, and so I decided to take biology and almost failed that. And I was like, whoa, this is hard. So I went back and did more biology, and then I got into the environmental science stream and just kept going on.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the paths we take in life.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm not going to grow up.
Nice. Good answer. So it's a non sequitur, is it?
Pretty much.
Okay, good stuff. I should also mention to folks listening that if you do want to get on your bike and be on your bike with other people on their bikes, you might want to take advantage of the many, many, many activities that you can do during Bike Month. And to do that, one suggestion I would have is going to check out the best schedule of events. That's Better Environmentally Sound Transportation.
They have a great calendar. I highly recommend
it. It's awesome. And it's continually getting new things on it. So to go to that, you go to best, that's B-E-S-T, .bc.ca. And it's a bit funny to find their thing. You have to look under current issues to find their events calendar. But it's super. And if you hover over the things, they burst forth and tell you all.
Yeah, that's the WebCal app. I tried using that for a little while. I didn't like it. But they did a very good job with it. And actually, I think I have a link to this month's calendar on the site, on my site.
You just, do. You trumpet it.
I normally put all the events in my calendar, but I'm so lazy, I just have no time anymore.
What's an event for you, or a couple of events that are your standbys that you regularly attend when you can?
Usually Critical Mass lately, it seems to be. I've been trying to take photos of every single Critical Mass, and since I have a massive server space with my website, I have been uploading all the originals to there. So if you've gone to Critical Mass and you think your photo may have been gone, check out my photo gallery and you can download the originals. Go crazy. Do whatever you want with them. They're all free.
Nice.
So that's one of the things I wanted to do. So I'm slowly starting to, but now my digital camera, my SLR died.
Right. Just from sheer overuse. You ripped the pedal right off of it.
I just abuse things. I'm an abuser.
Well, or you could just consider the things utilitarian and at your disposal.
I tried hammering nails with it. Didn't help it.
Yeah, some things aren't meant to be multi-use.
I'm finding this out, yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, listen, Wendell, I really appreciate you coming in. I know that you're a hard guy to pin down, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come out here and rip your bike to shreds in the process.
It was actually a test bike for Momentum that I just destroyed.
Awesome. I guess we should have told Amy that on the thing. I have a helmet from them that's still intact, but then it doesn't really get very much use because I don't wear helmets too often. But so test bike meaning that I guess you'll be reviewing it.
Correct.
I love it. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, if it can't take your punishment, then really, I don't know. It needs some more testing.
I think there was an ID10T error on my part.
An ID10T. So for those of you wondering what ID10T is, which I didn't know what it was, write it out.
it's good fun.
Awesome. And David, I know you have one song that's itching to be played. Is that correct?
No, it's just something I feel like hearing.
Super. Go for it. Thank you, everyone.
Sisters of mercy, they have not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort and later they brought me this song. Oh, I hope you run into them, you who've been traveling so long. Must leave everything that you cannot control. Begins with your family, but soon it comes around to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging, I think I can see how you're pinned. When you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned. Confession to them.
and they touched both my eyes, and I touched the dew on their hem. If your life is a leaf that the seasons tear off and condemn, they will bind you with love that is graceful and green as a stem. When I left, they were sleeping, I hope you run into them soon. Don't turn on the light, you can read their address by the moon. And you won't make me jealous if I hear that they've sweetened your night. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right.
Beautiful country. You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days,
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. Kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeah!